Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Monday, February 6th of 2023. I am Paul Gallant and this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, as you heard from the voice guy. You can probably hear from me, the voice. We don't really know where it's going to go, Jim. We don't know if it's going to make it through the whole show, Jim. This is entirely a byproduct of being an irresponsible bastard over the course of the weekend, but hey, I do want to give some shout-outs. First off, Sean Mapes and I, we hung out and we watched a basketball game on Friday, thanks to our good friend Vanessa Richardson. Got to see her for a second. Watch the Rockets play basketball. Yikes. But hey, Alpi, Sean, your thoughts on the game?
It was a good time. It was nice hanging out with you, Paul. And the Rockets lost.
They lost. I remember we looked up, because we were talking about I don't even know what, and all of a sudden, it had gone from being a 3-point game to a 14-point game. And
yes,
we were just like, wait, what?
The early third quarter, we were
right.
we were still settling in. And the Raptors went on a run.
Right you are, Sean. Then yesterday, I went out to St. Arnold. And I want to give St. Arnold a massive shout out because, geez, they throw on an event. So there's this thing that they do every single year. And I had never been to it. It's called the One Pot Showdown, and essentially you have to create some sort of food, mixing everything together in one pot, and you have to add a little bit of beer to it. So I ended up being a judge, which was very cool, but I felt a lot of pressure being this judge. Julia Morales was there, Jeff Blum was there, and here's me, nowhere close to those two.
Wait, you were the third judge?
There was about like six or seven judges.
Okay.
Chaz over at ABC 13, Chaz Miller, and a couple of other folks. It was a good time.
I was going to say, that's a tough, like, it's Julia Blum and then you. It would be a tough panel.
Well, one of these guys is not like the other, 100%. But it was a really cool event, and the weather was perfect yesterday. And yeah, I may have had myself a little bit too good of a time. I'm just going to be perfectly honest here. Anyway, as we dive back into this week, there was something that popped up on Friday, and I just said to myself, oh, God, here we go again. And I have nothing against this person. He used to work here in Houston. I had a couple of nice conversations with him from time to time. But Evan Drellick of The Athletic, I guess, has a book coming out. And wouldn't you know, the book is about the Houston Astros sign stealing scandal. Winning fixes everything. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to get away from this entirely. And as somebody who grew up a Patriots fan and has waited and waited and waited and waited for Spygate, Deflategate, the time where they were filming the Bengals sideline a couple of years ago, Gate, etc. I've always been waiting for that just to fade into the just forgotten. I don't know if we're ever going to get that with the Astros, and I know a lot of people are probably tuning in right now thinking to yourself, Paul, you're really bringing me back into my Monday by talking about the Astros sign-stealing scandal. Well, I do want to bring up some of the new tidbits. Guess what? It's not actually about the Astros. Well, it's not that much about the Astros. This time, it's about Alex Cora. This is the bombshell quote from Winning Fixes Everything. Another member of the Red Sox said, "We knew the Astros did steal signs because Alex Cora told us. He said that when they played the Dodgers, we already knew what everybody was throwing before we even got on base.
We didn't have to get on base. And everyone was like, what the hell does that mean? We stole that bleeping World Series, said Alex Cora. Now, instead of looking at the Astros for a moment, because, okay, Alex Cora was there, Carlos Beltran was there. It is pretty funny that this guy just got a job after having a one-year suspension and after the Red Sox basically fired him, right? But he's back. I think it's something else that baseball just allowed that to happen. And, of course, there's been a lot of stuff that baseball's been asleep at the wheel with this story. Having read Evan Drellick's entire write-up, which I believe is just a piece from this actual book that's being released, it talks about all the work that went into the story. Drellick seems to have a belief that perhaps him pursuing this led to him being fired at NBC Sports Boston. Honestly, I don't know. There was a lot of me in the story. Hey, it was a big story for him to break. But it has me thinking about just beaten to death sports topics. And if you can think of one that's going to ever be on par with the one that we've had to deal with over these last 5-6 years, you would have thought, hey, with the Astros winning the second World Series title, like, it's officially expired, right? Expired. Expired. Like the ant in that commercial. You would have thought by now, okay, we're past it, right? I guess not. I put up a poll on Twitter. Is there any curiosity? Any curiosity at all to get more information about this sign-stealing scandal? There are times where I actually am. And I know a lot of people right now are probably yelling at the radio thinking to themselves, Paul, every team did it. I get that. This isn't about that. Is there actually a market for more information about this story? I would say in Houston, no. No one wants to talk about this anymore here. Outside of Houston, are people still into it? Like, do you want to read this book the same way that I read that book about the CIA and about how, you know, some things with the Kennedys are perhaps not as cut and dry as they have been portrayed to us? Do you feel like if you read that book, you're going to find something? And that something is going to say, like, wow, I can't believe Rob Manfred overlooked it? I don't know. Based off of reading that passage, I didn't get the impression of that.
The only thing I would like to know is, like, just a pure, like, nuts and bolts, like, who was the person who was like, so here's what we're going to do, folks. Like, the whole plan coming together. And, like, I just would want to know, like, every person's reaction to it. I just want to be in the room when they're like, so here's how we're going to do it. We're going to get a trash can.
Yeah.
And we're going to smack it.
The person who suggests smacking the trash can.
And did anyone be like,
wait,
is
what?
There a more sophisticated way to do this? They're like, nope, not
no,
really.
No, it has to be a trash can, okay? You don't understand the genius here.
But we already have a whole setup with cameras and you're decoding it and then you're just turning around and smacking a trash can? It's like, no, that's the key part.
That's Alex the genius.
Alex Cora is like, that's the key part of the plan.
They'll never get it because it's a trash can.
I will say, I do
it's
like...
It's so stupid. They'll never suspect us.
I do like that Alex Cora apparently just like lives like it's like some sort of movie where he like gets sauced up and he's like, you want to know my deep, dark past? They're like, sure, coach. We stole that. We stole it. We knew everything.
If Cora's going around bragging about stealing it too, I don't know. It seems like he's the worst.
Well, that too.
Would do any of your friends walk down the street and brag about like not paying their taxes? Ooh, look at me! I'm Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec. I don't pay taxes and I eat bacon only. Like, no one really likes that person. Hey, you might give that person a high five secretly, like, yeah, screw the IRS, screw Rob Manfred and all of baseball. But that article is out, and I am curious as to if there's any fascination left. That is, I think, interesting, Sean. I want to know who actually was affected by it in a beneficial way. I want to know who really was good because of the sign-stealing scandal. I want to know if there actually was one player who was really good. Because I'm sure there are some people who tried it and it didn't work out as well as they thought it might for them. I think it would be a little bit distracting to have someone banging a trash can while you're at the plate.
Yeah, where you're just standing up, you're thinking about everything, and then you're also having to listen for I just would like what would be the best is like a like round table discussion between all the key people on the 2017 Astros when it comes to this, and like just have a judgment free like here's what happened. But that will literally never happen.
That's the best
I could hope for is like 15 years from now, Doc.
That's been the most annoying part about this whole thing. I remember when I was in Seattle, we were supposed to have somebody on the radio to talk about some of the stuff that was going on, not just with the Houston Astros, but with other teams. And then all of a sudden, the interview got canceled. And I was like, wait a second, what? Because he had said it somewhat publicly, his guessing that a couple of teams, like random teams that you wouldn't have expected, were supposedly in doing their own version of this. And I thought, okay, we're going to get some more out of it. But we didn't. Anyway, some people are asking, Paul, what are you talking about? I saw a passage over the weekend from Evan Drellick's book, Winning Fixes Everything, where Alex Cora said, we stole that bleeping World Series. And Drellick had an article up on The Athletic. And essentially, the book seems to be about the reporters who exposed this. Not going to lie. It does feel rather self-servicing based off of reading that one passage. Now, the whole book might not be that way, but reading that piece that Evan put up there, I'm like, oh, this isn't going to have that many juicy tidbits, and it's probably going to be largely about like what into the report. And we're not talking about Spotlight here or whatever the hell that thing is with the Boston Globe and their expose of the Archdiocese of Boston and what priests were allegedly doing to altar boys and kids. You know, this isn't that. This is a sign-stealing scandal that we are pretty sure more teams did. And I suppose maybe we're a little bit perhaps acting a little selfishly and just hoping that there will eventually be a report that somewhat exonerates the Houston Astros and implicates some other baseball teams along the way. That's probably never going to come out, and it doesn't feel like this book is going to be that. And it has me thinking about beaten to death sports topics, because I'm sure there are some right now that you're thinking to yourself, Paul, I don't want to hear about this, but I really want to know what you have to think, what have to say about whether or not Pete Rose is a Hall of Famer. Like, I know there's someone out there right now, and you're thinking about that. You're probably also wondering, like, hey, Paul, you know, when it comes down to it, can you please tell me who's better between Michael Jordan or LeBron? I know that all the other people that have said it before, like, they just don't understand it the way that you do. Can't you please explain to us who's better? We don't know. What topics are on level with that? 713-780-3776 to call it. To text in as well on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can tweet us at Gallant Says. Join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
There's a book coming out a week from now that's about the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal. I'm curious as to if anyone has any curiosity themselves when it comes to more details coming out of this. This book is a... Sorry, I'm reading off of the text line. All of a sudden, having a tough time reading. A reminder that an in-depth book on the Houston Astros and their management culture is going to be out soon based on years of reporting. Never before told stories about how the franchise was built. Crane, Luno, the scandal, innovation, and more. When a book's released, you got to release salacious details. And the salacious detail is that Alex Cora is apparently like swaggering about the clubhouse saying, yeah, we bleeping cheated the Dodgers out of that World Series. Yeah, how about that? Todd the Show, twitch.tv/ESPN975, says, I might read the book. I am curious about some of the stuff about building the team. Yeah, that might be interesting. What was the other book? Astro Ball, that was about the build of the team. We also asked in the last segment, who honestly benefited the most from the sign-stealing scandal? And the only player's name who was texted in or commented in was that of Marwin Gonzalez. I don't have that much more fascination in it. Perhaps it's because I'm so close to it and it's been such a beaten to death topic. But I do think I will end up getting that book and checking out just to see if there's anything new. And I'll probably end up being disappointed because that's generally how a lot of these things end up going. 713-780-3776 to call in. It's also the number to text into on the HRNP listener line. So as far as the Houston Texans and their offensive coordinator search slash any coordinator search, we still don't really have any new information. They were interested in 49ers passing game coordinator Bobby Slowick. They were interested in Bengals wide receivers coach Troy Walters. I'm not 100% sure if they've spoken with anybody. It's been pretty radio silent as far as whether or not they've even conducted an interview with those two. We do know that former Patriots tight end coach Nick Caley, who I guess the Texans were interested in at one point, has thankfully taken a job with the Los Angeles Rams in that same role as tight end coach.
Good for him. We're happy for him.
We are very happy for him, Sean. I can't believe that that guy was on a list. And I'm sure it had to do with Nick Caserio's time in New England back in the day. But, I mean, talk about the Patriots were paying their tight ends like $12 million more than any other positional group was paying, was any other tight end group in the entire league. Like $12 million more, $33 million total. And I think they ended up getting like 60 catches for 700 yards over the course of last year.
Yeah, so not exactly Gronk and Aaron Hernandez.
Right, like he's got a lot of money invested in the position and there's almost no production coming out of it. And you can blame it all on Matt Patricia and Joe Judge if you want, but like, regardless, don't even look at the tight end production numbers. Why would you be talking to somebody on the Patriots coaching staff after the year that they just had? We also had a Pro Bowl this weekend. Did you watch any of it, Sean? I'll be perfectly honest, I didn't. I saw a highlight where in the flag game, Tyreek Hill was running into the end zone and Jalen Ramsey bumped into him and sent him flying. But
I watched a little bit of it just like in passing.
Yeah.
The skills stuff is kind of fun to like watch him like throw and hit targets and then like do different little obstacle courses and relay. They had like a relay thing that was like, oh, all right, I'll watch this. I mean, it's, you know, it's not
like
great.
It's like mini games that you would play in Madden
that's
on
exactly,
a loading screen.
Like, that's exactly what it is. And like the flag football games, kind of whatever. I mean, it's fine. It's honestly, it's better than the sham game that they would actually play. Like when they would actually put on pads and stuff. Like that to me is like an affront to football. Like it, not just to football, to me as like
yeah.
As a viewer, it's like, what?
It's a giant middle finger to you. Hey, yeah. This isn't what you want to watch,
but
watch it anyway. NFL.
At least this, it's like guys kind of trying at flag football.
It did seem like there was some effort put into the game as a whole. However,
right.
There wasn't a whole lot going on. But we did get a tidbit courtesy of the Houston Texans starting left tackle, Laremy Tunsil. Laremy Tunsil had this to say about where he ranks among tackles in the NFL.
When you see the other left tackles out there, how do you stack yourself up amongst them?
Come on, man. You know where I'm going to put myself at. I feel like I'm the best left tackle in the league, in my opinion. But there's some great guys out there, too. You got Trent Williams. You got Andrew Thomas. Both of those guys made the All-Pro. So kudos to them. But for me, in my opinion, I feel like I'm the best offensive tackle out here.
And obviously a big offseason for the Texans. You guys just hired a new head coach, D'Amico Ryans. What was your reaction when you saw the new head ball coach?
Man, let's go. Let's go, man. He brought good energy in the building from what I see now, so I can't wait to meet him.
Obviously, a couple tough years for the Texans, but what's your message to Texans fans about what they should expect going forward?
Man, I'm trying to stay here forever. You know what I mean? I want to be a part of the franchise on the winning side, too.
Interesting to hear that last part, because it did not feel that way, what, two seasons ago? Did not feel that way during the 2021 campaign where everyone's wondering, wait, where's Laremy? Why isn't he here? He's hurt? What's the injury? It's not a torn ACL or something? What's going on? What is happening? So that he has changed his perspective on this is great to hear. And I've said it once, I'll say it again. It's hard to find good left tackles. You need to pay them a lot of money. When you do have one, you hold on to it. And this is a guy who is young and should be one of the cornerstones of your franchise. I mean, one of the great parts about going into this year's draft is that we don't even have to talk about offensive linemen, really. Sure, I guess maybe there's somebody at the top of the draft who could be an interior offensive lineman for the Texans or something like that. But no, you don't even have to talk about it, which I'm thankful for. Imagine this offseason they don't end up hiring DeMeco Ryans, and then they drafted an offensive lineman with the number two overall pick. Like, no offense to offensive linemen out there, but offensive line is the most boring position as far as, like, pizzazz being brought into an organization. At least pass rushers give you a little something. Cornerback is different, which you did last year with Derek Stingley. But drafting an offensive lineman is almost always boring.
Here he is, folks, the new star of the Houston Texans. He'll do all the dirty work.
Right. Insert random tackle.
All the stuff you can't look at. Here he is.
Here's Herbert Hamlin.
Hope you like the All-22.
Yeah, I'll watch that All-22. Man, he's so good with the pancakes, you know? Doesn't allow a lot of sacks.
Well, look at his feet right there.
Oh, that footwork. My God. It's just footwork, you know? The kind of footwork necessary to be an offensive lineman. Yeah. I love it. So I am glad that they're not going to be looking for one. And I do think that they're going to try to find a way to keep him around long term. Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard, you actually are pretty good in that spot. It's one of the few spots where you are good. I mean, that's one of the more depressing parts about the rest of the roster is you're like, oh, wait, but any other position, yeah, go ahead. Hell, even running back. Are we really saying no to a running back early on? Like, say Bijan Robinson slips to 12. Would you think about it? Especially with the way that the season ended for Damian Pierce, where he seemed a little bit banged up. Don't you want to have somebody else? I like Damian Pierce a lot, but I mean, the reality with running backs is that generally you need two, especially if you want to take pressure off of whatever your next quarterback is.
Yeah, maybe not in the first round.
First pick?
The 12th pick. It's like, this could have been Sean Payton, or it could have been so many other people.
Yeah, but why not?
Here's a running back.
Bijan Robinson at second overall. How mad will people get?
Oh, my God.
Hey, Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley went second overall, right?
Yeah, I saw him at the skills competition in the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. He was good.
Yeah.
Moved through those tires really fast.
Giants made the playoffs last year. Would they have made it without Saquon Barkley? Now, there's the whole Daniel Jones thing. But you could find a quarterback at eighth overall, right? Daniel Jones? He could slip to you. There could be somebody else out there that'll fall to you at this point in the draft. Boy, we're getting into draft talk soon, aren't we? Damn it, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I do want to see the Texans, though, extend Laremy Tunsil. And it was good to hear that Laremy Tunsil's got some complimentary things to say about his situation right now. You want to stay here for life. That is surprising. Like, that means he doesn't think that this rebuild is that much of a disaster, which is good. You keep on hearing, like, it's not as much of a disaster as you think. Come on, guys. Get excited. I like it.
Which is good because, like, 2 years ago, it was like, oh, this is more of a disaster than you think.
Yeah.
So now,
you think it's bad? Hey, let's tell you about the preacher. Yeah, this guy, like, he forged his resume. It somehow works here. We don't know why he's here, let alone the vice president, but he is.
Was the lowest point the, like, overlap, like, the time where Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby were both here? That has to be, like, the bottom, right?
Yes. But there have
or maybe been... David Culley. David Culley was also bad.
But Culley was just...
But not vibes-wise. Vibes, he was neutral.
Culley seemed very happy. You know, he had happy vibes. He was happy to be there because he was happy to get that job because he had no business getting it. What? No offense to David Culley, but he had no business being a head coach. I think everyone's in agreement on that.
I'm thinking back. I think the 2020 draft where Bill O'Brien is just screaming at someone like off camera or like on the phone or whatever... I think that's the lowest point.
Probably.
Where you're like, oh, this, where it went from, this is more of a disaster than you think, to, no, this is the disaster you think it is. Like, whatever, if you're thinking it's a disaster, you're right.
I think it really was at its worst, Sean, is when not only did the quarterback want out of town, but the quarterback who wanted out of town was allegedly involved in 20-plus editions of sexual misconduct. That probably is rock bottom because then he became suddenly, oh wait, he might not be tradable. Somehow they got a lot in return for him. You got to give Nick Caserio credit for that trade. That trade was an absolute home run. considering where it was and considering what you saw from Watson this past season, he wasn't quite Russell Wilson, but wasn't looking good.
Yeah, Watson being the franchise quarterback, demanding a trade, and then turning out to be like one of the more serial
very serious.
Predators.
Very serious.
Yeah, no, that also is bad. But also, David Culley.
Yeah.
No, the Watson stuff is worse.
We're on to the future, Sean. We're on to the future.
Laremy Tunsil's going to be here for the rest of his life.
I hope so. I hope so. And
he wants it. He wants to be here forever.
I mean, Brandon Cooks wanted to be here for some reason, too. And then all of a sudden, he's like, the Archer, don't play
well,
that.
The Archer moves in different ways than us mere men.
Well, no, the Archer, there's only one way for an Archer to go. You knot the bow. You pull the bowstring back, and you shoot the arrow forward. But when you're a wide receiver and you don't actually catch arrows, it doesn't make any sense. Whatever, that's neither here nor there. Paul Galancho, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. How much money would you pay for sand that Tom Brady's ass was once in? Someone... I'm not sure this is real, but someone went way above and beyond. We go around the NFL and tell you about that story and more next.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Thrill starts now.
Football time! Sean Mapes and I were at the Rockets game on Friday night, and Sean made me aware of something online. Sadly, I wasn't able to get my offshore accounts in order quickly enough to buy, honestly, the stupidest thing that's ever been sold on eBay. I will give the person who decided to sell it credit, though. Tom Brady's retirement announcement spot sand. With no way to prove it, other than a picture, and I guess a video of a person scooping the sand into a jar, and then a pan up to the backdrop where Tom Brady announced his retirement. But there's no way to know whether or not Tom Brady's molecules, physical presence, actually were in that spot. But it is going, as of a day ago on eBay, for $99,900. I wish that I was there so that I could have tried to do this myself. I would have done it as a joke. I can't believe that this has actually gone for more than $100. It's a jar of sand. What are you, the guy in Saving Private Ryan who's scooping up sand on every beach as they fight across all of Europe? Weird. Weird.
I don't understand, like okay.
Why would you buy this other than to show you have bleep you money?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's say, like, this is the sand, blah, 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 blah. Then, like, why do I want a jar of sand that Tom Brady once sat on?
Yes.
While he recorded a video, not the day he released it, to retire?
Right.
Thank you, Mike Florio.
He could have, that video could be from weeks ago, and the sand could have swept all around. That could be totally different sand. Forget the logistics of it. How do you display this?
Mason jar?
Yeah, Sean. Like, someone comes into your house. There's no way to display sand. Someone comes into your house, and you're like, oh, let me go show you on my mantle my jar of sand where Tom Brady retired near. Like, what is the point of buying something like that? It's not cool. Unless you really just want to show you have bleep you money, or you're a psychotic, past me level of Tom Brady fan. But even I think this is stupid. This is dumb.
And also, if you have bleep you money, like, there's so much better bleep yous than a jar of sand.
I agree.
Like, you can buy, like, Tom Brady's jersey from his last game. Buy his Super Bowl jersey that was stolen from him.
The 28-3 Super Bowl jersey, like... That is the one that should cost $100,000 plus.
Yeah, I was going to say probably more.
You can put that in your home. You can have it displayed. That makes sense. This does not. You cannot sell this to me in any way, shape, or form. I don't like sand. It's rough. It's coarse. It's irritating and... It gets everywhere.
Wise words.
Thanks, Anakin Skywalker, for those. Let's continue to go around the NFL. Derek Carr has been granted permission to seek his own trade. Could he end up on the Houston Texans? I do wonder. Per Adam Schefter, Raiders already have granted quarterback Derek Carr permission to speak with other teams interested in trading for him that would also agree to compensation with Las Vegas. It's the same arrangement the Texans had with quarterback Deshaun Watson last offseason. But the difference is you're probably going to get significantly less in exchange for Derek Carr. I feel like you got to make a phone call still here. I really do. I don't want to see the Texans find themselves in that spot in the draft where they have to take one of the top two quarterbacks, who I imagine Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, one will be gone, the other might be sticking around. I like the idea of having a fallback plan, and I also like the idea of maybe that rookie quarterback doesn't come in right away, especially with the way that this offensive line is set up, with the lack of skill players that this team has. I don't think anyone's going to get really excited about Derek Carr, but if you're going to trade like a third-round pick or something like that, if that's the price, would you really say no to that? I mean, you know if you trade for him, you're not winning anything of importance. You might have like 9-10 wins or something like that. He will frustrate you. You'll have great press conferences. I wouldn't mind having him as the caretaker, as the placeholder. I think maybe throwing the young guy in there to the fire. What we saw from Davis Mills, that didn't work out so well. Is it really going to work out so well with Bryce Young? Is it really going to work out so well with CJ Stroud? Like, I would love to have a young quarterback just to have a little bit of excitement in addition to the DeMeco Ryans hire. But there is a part of me that wonders whether or not that guy's just going to be completely ruined by the situation if they come in here and then they are thrown immediately into under center. I feel like there could be some bad moments because of that.
But the thing is, like we talked about earlier, though, they still have Tytus Howard and Laremy Tunsil. So it's not going to be a full, funny enough, full David Carring of this,
but it might,
this young man.
It's not the exterior offensive line, Sean. I'm with you. Like they have really good tackles, but if you just run straight up the middle with good pressure against whoever they have at center and at right guard next year, and I guess Kenyon Green, who didn't really look like a first round pick last season, do you think that's going to go well for the young guy, like for Derek Carr?
But then would you rather just draft Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, whoever, at two, and then that third round pick that you're trading for Derek Carr, just pick a center or pick another guard?
Yeah, you could pick another position.
Try to bolster it that way or spend some of your free agent money doing that.
It's probably true. I'm spitballing at this point. The only reason that I would want a veteran quarterback like Carr in there is because I don't want the young quarterback to die. That's legitimately it. It's not because I think Derek Carr has potential or can reach something. No, it is. I am putting a body out there.
But I think Derek Carr is going to have places to go where he's not like the bridge guy.
I would think so.
He'll probably anywhere in the NFC South, probably. He could go there and they'd be thrilled to have him.
He might not view himself as the bridge guy. He probably would be the bridge guy, but if you get what I'm saying, where he'd be there until they find a better quarterback. I think you're right. NFC South, the Jets are still a possibility. I really hope he ends up on the Jets.
Yeah, anywhere that he's the number two behind Rodgers. He's like the backup plan for Rodgers.
Right, right. And I hope that they end up with him. That'd be very funny. Brandon Ayuk of the San Francisco 49ers is not bitter at all about his 49ers losing to the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship game. Here's what Brandon Ayuk had to say about the Eagles defense. They talk about them being a good defense. I'm not sure. I think this Kansas City pass game will expose what we thought we were going to expose before some unfortunate circumstances. And I think talking about Brock Purdy there. They got extremely lucky. Look, Purdy getting hurt definitely affected that game, but I don't think you can make a grand statement like that entirely because of, one injury. Injuries happen. Were they lucky? Do you really think that the 49ers were going to carve up Philadelphia's defense? The idea of Brock Purdy moving up and down the field in that game, especially with the way things had gone for San Francisco the week before, and what was largely a rock fight between the 49ers and Cowboys, I just don't buy into the idea that the 49ers were going to run all over the place against Philadelphia. That game was going to be ugly, best case scenario, as opposed to just being a one-sided blowout where one team had zero chance. Okay, it's better to have a chance than no chance at all. So Brandon Ayuk is right from that perspective that maybe the Eagles were lucky that Purdy got hurt because it did make things easier. But I don't buy into the idea that that 49ers offense was necessarily going to go all up and down the field, because it was still Brock Purdy we're talking about. We're talking about a Mr. Irrelevant draft pick, third-string quarterback who is playing in the playoffs against an Eagles defense that's got a great pass rush. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. Sean Mapes and I went to the Rockets game on Friday. We had a couple of observations, and Kyrie Irving, who is the worst, over this weekend, not only somehow, some way, got back into the limelight and requested a trade from a team that was 18-2 when Kevin Durant was healthy and he was playing for it, but he also got traded to a place that I'm not sure he necessarily wanted to go, because it seems like the Nets were being especially petty with that. A rousing edition of this league and some thoughts of the Rockets next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
That slaps. Especially if you put the voice guy on top of it. It almost makes it seem like this radio show is high energy and legit. Live from HR&P listener line. Yeah, I don't know. I like the voice guy right there.
It makes it seem like we're about to start talking about Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen.
Right.
Patrick Ewing.
Well, we're going to talk about someone who belongs in that conversation. Alperen Sengun. Okay, so just a thought. Just a spitballing thought, because Sean Mapes and I went to the Rockets game on Friday. They played the Raptors. There are other things that we will discuss from that trip, but I wanted to start off with the actual basketball first. Should the Rockets, when they don't have, I don't know, Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., this is me, a simple person who doesn't know that much about basketball, doesn't it make sense to, I don't know, have Alperen Sengun do literally everything when those two guys aren't there so that he could potentially develop other elements of his game, like his handles and his three-point shot, when it's very clear that he has a lot of things that he could potentially get better at? I don't know. Just a thought. Maybe less Deshaun bleeping Knicks, who wasn't even that bad on Friday, but still.
I was going to say, Knicks was solid.
He was solid.
I mean, he knew we were in the house, so he probably was like, oh, I got to show out.
But Sean, we were spitballing about it, and Sengun kept on making these absolutely ridiculous passes. Like, he's a great passer. And seeing it in person, it just looked a whole lot cooler. But also, it sort of stands out to you. Wow, here's this tall, massive person who has the ability to distribute. And you floated something while we were watching this, and I was just like, wait, why haven't they done this? This is so obvious.
Yeah, just run him or give him the ball around the elbow in the high post and just let Kevin Porter Jr. like run around and spot up and do that, because he's a great spot-up shooter, Kevin Porter Jr. Just the step-backs, takes way too many of them.
Right,
B, is not that good at them.
Those are bad.
And so, yeah, they also, at one point in the game, they ran two pick-and-rolls with K.J. Martin setting the screen and Alperen Sengun, like, the ball handler. Both times ended in alley-oops. And after the game, I forgot if it was Kelly or who, one of the Rockets media people asked him about it, and Silas was like, yeah, that's maybe something we should explore going forward. It's like, yeah,
no,
I think
bleep,
you should.
Steve. Man, I don't want to be patronizing when I talk about Steven Silas anymore, but I really do not know what it is he's getting out of these guys. It just feels like he's like, all right, guys, roll the ball out.
And he's getting so much cover for, like, well, they're still trying to lose games. We're not saying that Alperen Sengun, like, if you just run the ball through him, you're going to be, like, the sixth seed all of a sudden.
Definitely
like,
not.
You'll be fine.
You're still going to lose. You're still going to lose necessary games. But you may as well use this, essentially, to make him better at something. And also, I don't know, play him more. But It was fun to watch him in person. There were some other things that happened over the course of this basketball game. Let's talk about, first off, Raptors fans. Raptors fans suck. They suck. Just typical Canadian hipsters trying to be different. There was a moment, I want to say it was in the third or fourth quarter when people were starting to trickle out, where this wannabe TikTok star teenager kept on making loud noises whenever the Rockets were trying to shoot a free throw. In the entire attempt to troll Rockets fans who were about his age two rows behind him.
And you say make loud noises. It was like a weird like screech noise.
Yes, it was
that
a screech.
Was
the first time I heard it, I was like, did someone just get stabbed in the neck?
Yeah, it sounded like someone was getting murdered.
Or thrown off of like the top rafters and was falling to their death. Like, and he kept on doing it. And there were some others there. They're wearing, it was rodeo night. I didn't like seeing Canadians putting on a cowboy hat, appropriating my Texas culture. I'm thinking about becoming a cowboy hat guy. I've been thinking about it. I have a cowboy hat. We're almost at the rodeo. I need to prove to these Canadians with their beady little eyes and their flapping heads coming on down here taking our jobs. We need to build a wall up there, first of all. And second of all, I'm going to remind them that I'm a true Texan. I'm going to wear a cowboy hat perhaps for like a week on the radio. We'll just see what happens.
I think you need to use the rodeo as like your soft launching.
Soft launching of cowboy hat guy?
Yeah.
Could we try a mustache this year? Now we'll try a cowboy hat.
That way you can be like, yeah, this is for the rodeo, but like also, maybe I'm just a hat guy. Cowboy hat guy. And you can just wear it like for the first week of the rodeo and then see how it feels.
Okay, I like it. Cowboy hat guy. I won't have to put any goop in my hair. I like that.
Boom.
Yeah.
Now you're saving time.
I'm saving time in the morning.
Better prep? There we go. The show gets better.
Just come in every single...
Mosey on in here.
Are we going to actually use that to make better prep? I don't know. I might use that time to play a little more Xbox or something like that. But look, the other thing that we need to talk about, and we had our own little basic moment, but Vanessa, Sean, and I, we had pictures taken courtside, you know, Vag Nation forever. But as I walked down to the courtside area to meet Vanessa, there was this person who was standing in the aisle trying to get her picture taken, and she wasn't anywhere close to the court. And she was really just standing there for a while. So it's one thing if she took a picture and then let everybody walk through. No, she just stood there. She just stood there and wouldn't move.
Like she was waiting on us.
Right.
But we couldn't move without her getting out of the way.
Right. She was taking up the entire aisle. Okay? So we eventually moved past her. And I tried not to make a comment. I did not. But we get,
kudos to you.
We were with Vanessa on the court for about 5 to 10 minutes. We walk back up. The girl is still taking photos in the aisle. She's still taking photos. And I'm annoyed now. And I knew that I had like very visible resting bitch face at this point in time. And eventually I just said, you know what? Bleep it. And I just walked through and I said, like, it's been 10 minutes, girls. Let's pick up the pace. I think they were completely shocked that I would dare to just walk around her through the shot as the flash went off. I timed it perfectly.
That's the best part. You jumped the snap.
I did not intentionally time it. Right, but I looked like Jadeveon Clowney when he didn't jump offsides all those times back with the Houston Texans.
Yeah, no, it felt very Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu. Like, you just hit it perfectly. And, yeah, there's... probably not anymore, a picture of scowling Paul Gallant on that girl's phone.
I hope so. I want them to know what they did was the worst. Take your picture and get done. You don't need to take 73 pictures. Take 6. One will be okay. Check that. I keep on thinking they're the New Jersey Nets. They're not the New Jersey Nets anymore. The Brooklyn Nets were delivered an ultimatum by Kyrie Irving literally out of nowhere on Friday. The trade deadline is a couple of days from now. All of a sudden on Friday, there is a report
right after we went off the air.
Yes, Friday at like 1 o'clock.
Where Kyrie Irving had asked out of Brooklyn, which is so strange because it felt like they were finally figuring things out together when they were healthy. There was a stretch this year where the Nets were 18-2 with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving playing. And it goes to show you, Kyrie Irving is just the absolute worst. He is the worst. He has terrible takes on things. He thinks he is a really intelligent person because he went to Duke for like a year. Was he even there? Who knows? He goes on deep YouTube dives and comes up with some cockamamie theories about pretty much everything in life. Oh, and by the way, he's a terrible teammate. So anyway, this guy decides to request a trade. And I love what the Brooklyn Nets owner, Joe Tsai, supposedly did. Now, I'm not exactly the biggest fan of some of the things that Joe Tsai said about certain things going on in our world. But Joe Tsai being petty and refusing to trade Kyrie Irving to the Lakers, where he was expecting to be traded to, is beautiful to me. They traded him to the Dallas Mavericks, so he's going to be playing with Luka Doncic, which is even better because now there is the potential for Luka Doncic to be ruined by Kyrie Irving up in Dallas. So the one nice thing Dallas has that we don't, it's going to get taken away from them because there is no chance this works out. Luka will probably like talk to some of his friends in Slovenia and say, like, what do we do to get rid of this guy? You know, what do we do? How do we get Kyrie Irving out of this situation? Ticking time bomb that one. Luka is not one that puts up with BS. I do not see this lasting long.
He asked me if I believe in Moon. What is that?
I like that you're just giving him the Eastern Europe accent.
My friend, we just play basketball.
Earl Flatt, everyone knows this. Earl Flatt, yeah.
Also, this is not an original thought, but there is some serious Rajon Rondo trade vibes to this for the Mavericks. I know you're a big Rondo
on the
guy.
Mavericks was depressing to me.
Legitimately just quitting in the middle of the first round of the playoffs?
Honestly, it doesn't get enough crap, and I love Rondo. Rondo was one of my favorite Boston Celtics. Rondo quitting in that series against the Rockets is one of the most shameful things I've ever seen an athlete do. It was, like, next level awful. He quit. Literally quit. Like, on court, you could tell he had quit.
Just quit. He got, the 8 second, like,
the 8 second
to cross
violation.
The back. And
right,
he just didn't get it. He just didn't get over.
Didn't
he wasn't
get
getting pressured.
He just stood. He just stood there. Shh, it'll all be over soon. We also had a couple of fights to get to. We'll talk about them over the course of the next hour. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. Lots of people power rank the top of the NFL. We are going to power rank the bottom of the NFL. Because where do the Houston Texans stand now that they've hired D'Amico Ryans? Everyone's been happy over the course of this past week. But honestly, where do they stand? Before the draft, before free agency, D'Amico Ryans in the building has the Texans where compared to the rest of the NFL? We'll talk about it next, Paul Gallant Show.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.